I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was from our interview earlier this afternoon with Drake May, the one-man army on the New England Patriots. If you missed any of it, you can check it out on Odyssey.com or on the Odyssey app. We also will have it posted up on YouTube. You can find it all there and hear every pressing question that we had to ask for him.
It was good.
That was a good interview today. That was a good hit with him. I thought Jones was good, too.
Yeah, it's just different because he's not here.
I know. I wish he'd come in here once in a while. He's not.
He doesn't like us.
Probably not. Although, when it used to be Mac or Zappy, I guess, and Slater, Slater used to call in, too. He only ever came in here like once or twice.
And he's nice.
And yeah, and he's, you know, he's Mr. Mr. Mayor around here. But yeah, that's Jonathan Jones doesn't like coming in here. He might have liked it if he knew that we were in these cool leather chairs.
Yeah.
That might have warmed him up to it a little bit.
I mean, we're nice. We've never asked him anything really
bad.
We're
not that nice, I don't think.
I'm getting too comfortable, I can tell you that much. I'm starting to lean back in the chair, taking advantage of the sun. Like, I definitely feel like I could be watching a game with a beer in my hand.
You look like Leon Phelps doing radio right now.
Who the hell's Leon Phelps?
The ladies' man. Remember? This is the ladies' man. The SNL sketch. You don't remember the ladies' man?
Yeah.
I'm looking at half a bottle of Cavatier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a little. I'm not a big Saturday Night Live going on right there. Yeah, enough talk about SNL.
You want to get politics?
Let's not do that either. But
Fitzy and I got into a political fight on the thing last night.
Really?
Yeah. And Joe Braverman got very uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now I got to know what it was.
Well, Fitzy was bitching.
I listened to part of it, but I didn't hear the whole thing.
He was bitching that the whole thing about the Washington Post not endorsing.
How did that come up?
I don't really remember. But I was like, why did it matter? They had endorsed the Democrat for like 47 straight years. We knew if they had. And he's like, well, that's not bad. And Joe Braverman's like, okay, move on, guys. Okay, guys, move on. He got really uncomfortable.
Really? He was telling you to move on?
Oh, yeah, he got really uncomfortable.
Think someone was telling him to tell you to move on?
No. You think we get any guidance on
it? It was a weekend.
Weekend show, that's true. Yeah, right. Let's listen to that.
Hey, ho! You mean in management?
Fans
were just not Ken. Lines were loaded. We were passionately breaking down the Patriots' loss in the beginning and growth of the Drake May era. Come on now.
Absolutely. I meant who in the.
Jesus, that's hurtful.
You know, Ken Laird was somewhere polishing off. I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, what is Drake May?
I like how you thought better of
that one.
I'm going to move on now.
Polishing off a nice steak, maybe. What does Drake May need the most? I mean, we're talking about this offseason now. I think that's going to be the dominant narrative here, as we all agree. He's progressing in a – I didn't think that was his best game, but I still think he's progressing and getting better. What does he need the most this next offseason, whether it's in the draft or free agency? What's at the top of the whiteboard?
That's like saying, do you need four tires or two on your car? I don't – like, he needs a target and a tackle.
Yep.
Can you – which one's better, maybe? Because I am looking – I don't know if
I think he needs a receiver more than he needs an offensive line.
Yeah, but
I think he needs that more. I think if you can get the ball out quickly to a guy who's a playmaker, then you can work around that and you can make that happen. They don't have playmakers on
this team. You can sell me on that. Yeah. You can, and then you, if somebody else said, it doesn't matter, in the long run you need to get a left tackle, like, you could sell me on that too, because you need both.
Right.
They're glaring holes. The one thing I will say – is so we had the Kelvin Banks bad game where he kind of went back down, and the chatter that Will Campbell might be a guard and he's not a tackle in the NFL is starting to alarm me just a little.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pick a tackle to pick a tackle. I want to pick a tackle who I think is a hoss, like an absolute hoss for the next X number of years.
Yeah.
And if there are legitimate concerns about Campbell, Banks, whoever the tackles, then I would the receiver. Go two receivers. I'm fine if they get T. Higgins and go get Travis Hunter or McMillan, the kid out of Arizona. If you say two receivers, because he's already proven he can run.
Yeah.
He's already proven he can throw on the run. So, and I'm assuming you'll get marginally better on the line next year. Even if you don't get an elite left tackle, whatever, get better somewhere. Don't sign Ben Brown off the Raiders practice squad and make him your best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess if you tell me the tackles aren't worth the pick, then yes, go get the best receivers available.
Yeah, I'm sort of there. I think that, and also when it tackles, like, I think draft, right? Everyone's saying, well, if you have the first overall pick, you trade back, you can get one of these guys at three or four if they're still out there.
Will Campbell.
The only thing about that is, and I'm sure Will Campbell's going to be a good pro, he might not be good right away. Like, I feel like these tackles, when they come into the league, they have learning curves and growing pains and all that stuff,
some
too.
Some do. Some don't.
Sometimes. But I do think it's better for a rookie quarterback if that part of the equation is dealt with by someone who's gone through all that already. I feel like Drake May, even next year, is still going to be having things he's working out as a second-year player who didn't play an entire first season. He's still going to be, you know, working through things and making mistakes and stuff like that. I'd rather a left tackle someone who is able to work around that and knows what that's like and has been in the league a few years, and there's not a lot of great options. There's Stanley from Baltimore, yep, and Bowles from Denver, and, you know, a couple other guys who I don't even know if they're going to hit free agency or not. I know their contracts are up. They may all re-sign, you know, so who knows if this is even possible. But I think that that's probably the way I'd go about it. The only problem is they're just so bad at drafting wide receivers, I don't know if I trust them to. I think you're more likely to draft a good receiver in the top 10 and sign a tackle and have that work out for you than the other way around. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Signing a wide receiver, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. I just don't know if any are going to be available.
I do feel like top 10 receivers who are generally considered top 10 receivers have a pretty good hit rate, pretty good success rate. Now, there's like, remember Tavon Austin, I think, went in the top 10. Like,
good return, man. But,
I don't think any – he was not universally considered a top 10 pick. He just went in the top 10. And I'm going to say they're not going to make that big a reach or mistake, but usually when guys go in the top – like Malik Nabers looks good.
Yeah.
Right? Marvin Harrison looks good. You know, whether you go back to Megatron or A.J. Green, or I just feel like these guys that are considered sort of universally – oh, he's a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
They usually have a pretty good success rate.
Usually.
And if you pair him with Drake May, I feel pretty good about them bonding. And, you know, he's not going to be bitching about the quarterback play.
Sure.
So,
but you match Jalen Polk with him, and this is turning out about as bad as any receiver anyone's ever drafted. And the Belichick couldn't
do it for
20 years.
I'm starting to think Jalen Polk, they were the wrongest of wrong on.
Yeah.
Because everything I think they believed he was, he isn't. And that's pretty
Everything
bad.
He thinks he is, he isn't.
Yeah. Well, that might be part of it, too. Do you think that's... Are we getting close to that's not salvageable?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, it feels like he just doesn't fit mentally, physically,
it's
emotionally.
It's one thing if he was only not producing with Brissett. You'd say, okay, well, it's Brissett. But now, you know, like, these committing penalties, the drops are happening no matter who's getting him the ball. He's got a bad attitude. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything really, you'd say, salvageable. I don't know if there's any positives coming from the player right now.
Oh, right now there are
nothing.
I don't believe there are positives.
Yeah.
But that's where my idea of Cooper Kupp, when that was a rumor.
Yeah.
I wonder if you bring, I keep using the phrase, an adult in the room, a guy that's been there, done that, that's going to have respect of the players, and Jalen Polk sees how he works and sees how he runs routes and sees what he does. Maybe there would be value in that, and that could sell. I've kind of, this idea that, I forget, Bleacher Report, no, PFF, when they put out what I think is going to go down, hey, cold hard football, no, what are they called? Cold takes.
Cold hard, cold, freezing cold takes.
Freezing cold takes.
Freezing cold hard football facts. They combined together with Kerry.
They merged. freezing cold takes. Go check out PFF when they tweeted out a picture or it was Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, Patriots, wide receiver one and wide receiver two set for the future or something. Yeah. That's about, they both stink. They both done nothing. They've both been utterly disappointing. That might go down as one of the worst tweets ever. And maybe that's salvageable with T. Higgins or whoever that number, the true number one is. But I'm starting to also doubt that. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
The only thing he does now is hold. There was a lot of those, like, snarky tweets. One thing he sticks to is the defender. Can't catch a ball, but he can hold a defender.
Holding, like, and the other one was, like, an illegal shift or something, right? Yeah.
That might be on Drake, though.
How is that on Drake?
Because that's a quarterback's job is to make sure everything is sort of set in that way. Was that one where he was not set or turning upfield?
I thought it was illegal shift.
Yeah, so I think
maybe
he's
not set.
Maybe
it was illegal motion. Maybe it was illegal motion. I can't remember exactly.
I think that might be a little bit on Drake.
Okay.
You know, he's my binky and all, and I don't want to, like, say anything bad, but that might be on the court.
Well, I hadn't even thought of that. I just assumed, you know.
You know me, objective,
a
baby.
Well, yeah, it is. I have a procedural penalty like that. I usually blame the guy who did the wrong procedure, but who knows. 6-1-7.
Well, there was another one real quick where Booty lined up wrong, and I believe it was Hunter. It was Trips right. Booty was the middle guy.
Yeah.
And I think Hunter Henry was the inside guy, and he's, like, screaming at him to get off the line like, you idiot. Like, they still have way too many of those. They can't. Remember the coaches, Ajay, like, the operation. Can we line up and run? They can't line up. There are way too many plays every game where they cannot line up. And I don't know who you blame that on. If that's AVP, I assume it's AVP.
I think Van Pelt and Mayo can share it.
Right, they run the offense. They run the show. That, for this time in the season, you're nine games into the season, you can't line up on offense.
And
I don't care.
It hasn't gotten any better.
No, that's embarrassing. Yeah. That's unacceptable. That's the kind of crap that makes people wonder if the coach is the right guy.
617-779-7937. Coach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Coach.
Oh, Coach.
Oh, coachy.
All right, let's pop Coach on hold, and let's see what Stiz has for us in trending. We will get to your phone calls as well and also reset on some other things that Drake May had to say today, in particular, his thought on going for two. That's all coming up right after Stiz. Get you caught up on what's trending.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a future in politics, this kid, I'll tell you. Won't throw anyone under the bus. Really, he won't do it.
He threw somebody under the bus.
Who?
You didn't find anything concerning, curious, or alarming about that answer?
No.
In a week where a quarterback was benched? What
no.
team benched their quarterback last week?
Who benched their quarterback last week? Oh, the Colts.
Mm. Why'd they bench him?
Because he said he needed to...
He was too tired
to play. Tired to keep playing, yeah. I don't think he was saying he was too tired to keep playing. He would have gone for two.
He didn't touch the third rail, but he got close to it.
Okay, but that's not him throwing himself under the ball. I don't think he was doing that.
If he's too tired, if I want to go for two and he's too tired, he's catching his breath and he's drained, then I am alarmed.
Okay. I don't think that they said, hey, Drake, do you want to go for two? And he said no.
This really is the bitching hour if I'm now ripping Drake May.
You are, yeah.
I said he became the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise.
I understood what he was saying. I was just trying to catch my breath. He didn't say, I didn't want to go for two. He said, I think we made the right call because that was the coach, and he's not going to second-guess the coach. That's what that was. And I think he was trying to be self-deprecating about it, too.
You think if
Drake May – sorry, if Gerard Mayo said to Drake May, hey, we're going for two, Drake May was going to say, I don't know, I'm too tired?
I'm just saying he was tiptoeing toward a direction I didn't care for. And I also don't want him to be too tired that he can't think about, oh, I want to finish this game. Like, he should know the situation, the score, the opportunity. Like, the competitor in him, I think, would want to go for two.
Right.
He was so tired he couldn't remember that he wanted to go for two.
I think he did want to go for two. And I think maybe Mayo even wanted to go for two. And I think that the analytics department said, no, we're going for one here, and we'll get it in overtime. And I think that's what happened. I think this is the way the decisions get made on this team. I don't think that there's a whole lot of Drake May in particular. We asked him a couple weeks ago, do you change plays at the line? He's like, no, not really. You know, like, I do what AVP tells me to do. I go out there, and I run the play that they ask me to do. And for most rookie quarterbacks, that's what you see, especially early on in, like, their first three or four starts. They're running what's called. I don't think that he had any sort of say over them going for two there, and I question how much say Mayo had.
I don't think Drake May has any say at all. I'm just saying the reasoning he kind of articulated, I won't say it, was concerning.
I thought that was to throw it off of the coaches, right?
Maybe.
I think that was the point there, because anything else he says is sort of second-guessing the coach.
He also knows that was brought up. That was asked of Gerard Mayo, and Gerard Mayo said, great question, I don't want to get into that right now or whatever.
Yeah.
Very strange answer.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a chance to get into that ourselves, but that was a very strange answer. To say something's that leads me to believe there was some weird discussion. I don't know who made the decision. Now, he was on his high horse this morning on the Greg Hill Show when he said, We have those discussions in, what did he say, quiet times?
Right.
Which is like meaning not on game day, right? Like just some random meeting with coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I buy all of that.
Was it Van Pelt? Was it Van Pelt who said that we're like 10 steps ahead all the time? We always try and be so far ahead, really? You guys?
Do they look 10 steps ahead?
They don't look like they've been 10 steps ahead of anything all year.
Sometimes 10 steps ahead for this offense would be 1, 2, 3, punt. 1, 2, 3, punt. Like, how many punts can we get in 10 steps ahead?
How many steps are we going to have?
How many 1.6-yard runs can we be ahead of the curve?
Very fair. Speaking of very fair, one of the biggest skeptics of Drake May.
The biggest skeptic.
Yeah, the biggest skeptic.
Said he shouldn't play for 2 years in the National Football League.
The biggest Drake May truther of them all.
Hater.
Dan Orlovsky,
hater,
has finally come around. It only took him, 6 weeks.
Welcome, Dan, to
but
the land of
finally,
reason.
After saying that May should sit for two, not one, but 2 years of his rookie contract before he actually set foot on a field as a starter for the Patriots has now finally come around and is giving Drake May his props on ESPN
Welcome.
Today. Listen to this.
Young man's a stud. When he was coming out of school, you saw talent and you're just like, go to the right place. He had to work on some stuff. He obviously has worked on that stuff, but you just can't coach this. This is Big Ben. This is Justin Herbert plus. That is uncoachable traits. Patriots, you got a guy. Like, here's the thing. You got a guy. All you got to do is not mess it up. If you put some decent talent around this guy, you're going to be right back where you were in that those playoff Super Bowl conversations. This young man looks absolutely tremendous. I was so cautious of playing him in meaningful games, and I don't think these are necessarily meaningful because the Patriots aren't a good football team, but playing him so early, stay healthy. Please God, because he's tremendous. I think he is. He's got so much Big Ben in his game. Fantastic.
I didn't hear a I was wrong.
He wouldn't go there.
I didn't hear a, oh, my God, I couldn't have possibly been more wrong about this guy, which I was expecting there, Dan. You know, we're all talking about accountability, and finally, yeah, this guy's really good.
Fraud.
Yeah, he is good. We know. We thought he was. Well,
we told you.
May not have thought. I wanted him to play. I wasn't sure how good he was going to be. He's better than I thought he was going to be. But I wanted him to play. I wanted him out there. If you're spending a third overall pick on the kid, you got to play him no matter what I think about him. And I'm glad that they did play him now. And I'm glad to be wrong. I think all that's fine. And I'm man enough to say I was wrong, Dan. Maybe you should try that because you were wronger than me. And that I think, is the thing that when you hear the chorus of voices who all sort of go along sometimes with what the team does, no matter what the team does, we'll defend it and we'll make it seem like it was the right thing. And with Orlovsky, he's so protective of all the quarterbacks in the league, really. I mean, he won't let anybody say a bad thing about any of them, even Mac Jones. He was talking about Mac Jones like he was really an elite quarterback in a bad situation, which is why I thought it was funny that he said, you know, I hope this guy goes to the right place. You think Drake May's in the right place? Like, if you're Drake May's brother or something, are you happy he's on the New England Patriots right now?
That's a great question.
How could you be?
Because theoretically, it's a stable organization with great ownership and great this and great.
I said theoretically, but realistically, it's not that.
It has not been for years. Yeah. It has been absolutely a soap opera and a poop show for a few years. The end of Bill Belichick and the beginning of Gerard Mayo. It's a fair question to ask. Now, I also think Carolina is a crap show,
yep.
And Chicago's been kind of a crap show, and Washington was the crappiest of crap shows.
It was.
So, you know, when you kind of relative to the competition, the world you're in, do I wish he was with, oh, I don't know, he landed on his feet in San Francisco with, like, great talent around him and great coaching and all this? Sure, that would be ideal, but that's not the reality. So,
right.
No, I think I'm fine with it just because I believe in him. And if he's good, everything else will be good. The one thing I didn't like about that clip, so there's one, Justin Herbert plus.
Right.
So he's better than Justin Herbert? I like that. The Ben Roethlisberger thing. I loved Ben Roethlisberger more than any coming into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with him. This is way back in the time machine for Andy when they used to have those, what was it, the Mac back then when he was at Miami
of Ohio. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd watch these games and he was in the gun all the time. He's slinging it. I fell in love with him. I think he kind of underachieved as an NFL quarterback. I think he was kind of a dink. I think he made a sneaky a lot of mistakes in big games.
Yeah,
and
I'd agree. I mean, he does have two rings. He had those off-the-field stuff, which was obviously very
bad. Yeah, put that to the side.
Sure, but as just
I'm
a player,
just talking on the field.
Yeah.
I think he underachieved. I think he should have been better than he was. He made too many mistakes. I think there were times where he carried his team to win. I think there were times where he cost his team games.
I'd agree with that.
And this is going to sound, I guess, greedy. Because Ben Roethlisberger is a two-time Super Bowl winner.
In the Brady-Manning era, I mean, that's not a small thing.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I want Drake May to be better than that. I think Drake May can be better than that. I think Drake May has better all-around ability and better, already I'm going to say it, leadership skills. I think there was some questionable leadership with Roethlisberger. Now, he had a lot to deal with.
He did.
There was a lot he had to deal with. The Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, like there were different eras there that I think were challenging. Strong personalities on defense.
And he won with those guys too, by the way. But
like,
yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
He benefited from their talents, but he may have struggled with their personalities
and personality.
But I want Drake May to be better than Ben Roethlisberger, and I think he's going to be a better leader than Ben Roethlisberger.
617-779-7937 is your phone number here. David is in the car. Go ahead, David.
Good evening, guys. Thank you. So you guys have been talking about so much that my thoughts are, I go over the place of what to say now. But here's one thing I will say. Andy, I agree with something you just commented about Drake May being in the wrong team. He is in the wrong team. And the reason I say that is because New England will not get what he needs, which that was another question you guys were asking. Will New England get the weapons that he needs? No, they won't. This organization is so messed up right now with coaching and everything else. They're nowhere near where they need to be to get this kid to get to play at the level that he's capable of doing. And that's a shame. That's an extreme shame.
Yeah, David, I agree with you. I think it's a crying shame, and that was what I opened the show with today. And I've opened other shows with it before, usually right here in the same room. After Drake May comes out and plays well or shows you something and shows that he's special and shows that he has all this Herbert plus and Roethlisberger and, you know, Josh Allen, all these other people he's been compared to, he does all that, the team loses, and it's clear why they're losing, and it's clear why they're not really going anywhere this year, and I don't think it needed to be that way. I understand you're trying to build a team, and you need some more draft picks and all that stuff. Fine, yeah, okay, I get that. And for those reasons, maybe it's better to lose games this year. But you didn't have to. You didn't have to be a loser team this year. That wasn't mandatory. That's not something that has to happen. And the Washington Commanders aren't. The Bears aren't. The Broncos aren't. No other team with a rookie quarterback is in the same position that you are right now. There's a lot of bad teams. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL with two wins. I think all the teams with rookie quarterbacks still have winning records.
Do you think that the Gerard Mayo comment that kind of ticked you off about those other teams are in a different
point cycle? Yeah, cycle, right. Yeah.
Do you think that was refreshingly honest or admirably honest, or was it problematic? Do you think that was sort of,
well,
dismissive of opportunities or dismissive of you could have been better, you're choosing? Like,
I think it was a shot at Wolf, honestly. I mean, maybe not like a direct one, but in the sense of, yeah, you know, we're not going to be like those teams. Those teams are in a different cycle, and that's sort of the message I've been told, and that's not my department, so I'm just going to let those guys do it. That's what it seemed like to me. Like, I don't think he's happy about being the head coach of a team that management in the front office has deemed unworthy or whatever because of the cycle that they're in of going out and trading for big-ticket wide receivers. And if you have a rookie quarterback, I can see why. But that's sort of how that came off to me. I don't know.
I think he's complicit. I think he believes it. I think they all believe it. And in 2 years, I'll tell you whether they were right or wrong.
Yeah,
basically. Like, if they – now, I'm already alarmed because I think they've screwed some of the pooches of this offseason. Mm-hmm. And I don't love how this offseason played out, even with their plan, like right. Their style. And that makes me doubt, well, are you going to successfully navigate this offseason? When I think it's really important. You need to hit on that first-round pick. You need to spend your money wisely, not just crazily. Like, it can't be just burn cash. It needs to be the right guys, the right mosaic of the roster. As
they need to hit
say.
On more than just the first-round pick
right. This
year, too.
No, but you absolutely need to hit the first-round
pick. That's
all
they hit on this one, yeah.
And that's where I'm alarmed. It's not so much the philosophy that alarms me. If you wanted to look at this as a 2-year rebuild, mm-hmm. and there was really no way to do it faster,
yeah.
and if you tried to do it faster, you were actually going to regret it later kind of mentality, you can sell me on that plan. My problem is, I don't know how good a job you did with that plan in year one. Are you really trying to trade Kyle Duggar? Because that was a big part of the plan. You spent,
yep.
what'd they give him, $50 million, something like that?
Yeah.
It was just under what they gave on Wenu.
Right.
They gave on Wenu 55, and him, I think, close to 50. You spent $100 million on those two players. You know how those two players look? Not great.
Nope. The 4 years, $58
million. Oh, so more than
Yeah, 14.5 per year.
Okay. So you spent over $100 million on those two guys. One guy, you haven't locked him in at any position, and I don't think he's been anywhere as near as good as is his reputation. And the other guy, you may or may not be at least entertaining trade offers. That's not a good start. And then you add in the others, all the other swings and misses. Oh, Nick Leverett will be a part of this team. Will he?
Nope.
Gone. Chukwuma Okorafor, will he?
Nope. Goodbye.
Gone. You benched him in week one. You benched him. So the big picture plan that everybody's critical of, I get why people are critical. But I'm allowing them to say, okay, you had the right plan. I think you screwed up your own plan. And that's the really alarming part.
Yeah, I think that's very alarming. I think that's not necessarily something that gets fixed.
How did
in
we get negative?
One offseason, too.
I started
you
positive.
You started off ripping Drake
we
May.
Got the that damn quarterback. You got the freaking he's a combination of Justin Herbert plus and Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, according to someone who's overcompensating for this bad take earlier in the year. That's
yeah,
true.
This is very PFF of me. I ignore PFF when I don't like their numbers,
right.
But then if they agree with me. What the hell just happened to our screen?
I don't know. Patriots Unfiltered now.
We're talking about
you
a mutiny.
You still have that too? Yeah, right.
We're talking about a mutiny. There's a mutiny in that locker room. Yeah. And these reporters, they can't cover this team. They don't know how to be reporters.
Beep. It's like one of those little technical difficulty signs comes up. Paul is in Providence. Paul, hello.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Paul.
I think one of the expectations going into the season this year was, did we hit on Drake May? Is he our guy? And I think if you're the Patriots and you feel though he is your guy, the first thing you do, the number one priority, is you protect this kid, or else you're not going to have him for the long term. So you go out there, you get the line you need, whether it's through the draft, which I don't think is the best thing to do, but you get some veterans around this guy. He definitely deserves a playmaker. He definitely deserves some weapons. But if you can't keep this guy upright and he can't get the ball to these playmakers, then you're going to have a very short career for Drake May.
Yeah, Paul, you're right about that. And I don't think that you needed to see him before you did all that stuff. You didn't need to see him and know if he could play before you got him a good offensive line or a playmaking wide receiver. That should have been here before he got here. That should have been part of the process. Maybe not all of it, because you were going to draft some of it too. But in this particular case, if you're taking him third overall, you're not picking again until early second round. So you want to go tackle there? Fine. They went wide receiver there. It looks like they whiffed. They didn't really do much in free agency. It doesn't really seem like there's anything else in this draft that you can hang your hat on, really. I mean, you know, Jaheim Bell, I saw him playing a bunch of snaps. He didn't do much. He had one catch, I think. And, you know, good for him. But that's really sort of the point here, is that they should do all those things. But they should have done it to start off. That should have been the case right away. When you have that much cap space and you're picking that high, it shouldn't have been the struggle here to find anybody that can fit into any part of the offense, and that's what they did. They don't have anyone who fits in anywhere, right? Like, Polk and Baker don't fit in anywhere in the wide receiver
group.
No. Layden Robinson got benched. They moved him over and put Onwenu back in at guard. Yep. Like, this whole thing just seems like it was a real... After May, a catastrophe of a draft is what it's starting to look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know why we've gotten here today specifically. We've somehow, the bitching hour has won today. The bitching hour, like losing, is undefeated.
It's
even
true.
On a day when we watch Drake May, in my opinion, have his best day as a Patriot, on the field, off the field, running the ball, throwing the ball. I'll take away the part that he was tired and didn't know if he could go for a two-point conversion. We'll eliminate that
from
the discussion.
Three turnovers, maybe. You want to eliminate those.
Yeah, those turnovers happen.
Yeah, sure.
It's part of the NFL. It's part of young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Ever hear Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I've heard of Peyton.
28 interceptions.
Ever heard of Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got two interceptions.
We'll
and
see.
He's played 9 games.
We'll see.
Okay.
It's early. You know whose numbers he's matching?
No.
Who? RG3.
Really?
How did RG3 turn out?
Well, he hurt himself, but if he
did
hadn't,
you stop reading
good.
A book in the first chapter?
No.
I have at times.
I don't think so. Maybe I have because I got bored. That could have happened.
I've started a lot of books.
But no one was bored by RG3. RG3 was awesome.
No, but the reality is you're going to read the whole book to find out how the story turns out.
True.
Can't just judge it on the first chapter.
No, you can't. 617-779-7937. We'll come back with odds and ends right after this. Odds and ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That is cars with a K. Andy, you'll remember right around when we first started the show, you were surprised to learn that I didn't know that Bill Belichick had taken over the Let's Go podcast.
Yes.
You were like, "Why? Where have you been? You didn't know that?"
That's true.
No idea. I really didn't know that. I thought that they just stopped it. I didn't think that it was going to keep going with Bill taking over for Brady. I feel like I would have remembered hearing about that, but I just didn't know that. We heard one of the clips when Brady joined the show. And it was Brady, Gray, and Belichick. There was also a couple other where they interviewed, like, Joe Torre and Mike Krzyzewski and, like, all these old coaches. That's the one you listen to? Yeah.
Dry as all get up.
Well, let me tell you something. The Let's Go podcast has decided to branch out from sports a little bit and go the way of politics.
Yeah.
Right before the election.
My favorite podcast of the year.
As a matter of fact... It's out right now, I believe. Mad Dog Sports Radio, a few hours ago, has tweeted, "Available now, former President Donald Trump joins Bill Belichick and Jim Gray on Let's Go to discuss the state of sports in America."
Ugh. Wait a minute. To discuss the state of sports in America?
I guess.
The hell do I care what Donald Trump thinks about the state of sports in America?
That's a fair question.
On the eve of the effing election, we're going to pretend I care what he thinks about sports in America. So even when they have a very interesting get, are they ruining it? By the way, if they had had some balls, they would have said, tonight, former and future President Donald Trump, like he was the future. Like, I have no interest now.
Now, Trump,
what does he know about sports?
Trump did Joe Rogan like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it wasn't
right?
bad. I listened to it.
I didn't hear the whole thing. I saw clips of it. I thought Rogan was kind of going after him more than I expected him to.
There were some times. I mean, not
there was
real
one time
harsh.
He laughed right in his face. He said, I didn't actually lose the election. And Rogan just burst out laughing.
Oh, there
right
were a few times where he just laughed at him.
Yeah.
I think he didn't
want
to.
That was softball. That was softball.
Well, Rogan is. It's funny because I didn't know Rogan was a Bernie guy. And he's definitely now more of like a Republican.
He's definitely more of a Trump guy, I think, than a Bernie guy.
So there was definitely a friendly landing spot there with Rogan.
Well,
but
I'm sure
Kamala wouldn't
do it. I'm sure Scratchy and Bill are going to be really asking the tough ones. I thought Kamala said she'd do it, but she couldn't get to the studio, and he didn't want to leave the studio or something like
well,
that, right?
Well, yeah. She said he had to come do it where she is, and he said, anytime you want to come here, we'll do it here. And then he claimed they started to put, like, there has to be X number of people in the room from her staff. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. It's me interviewing her. I'm not having people all around who can stop it and start it and give her feeder questions and answer. Like,
okay.
He got very.
Well, she is the sitting vice president. Like, I mean, the rules are different for her than Belichick. Than Trump right now, right?
She said that he had to go to her and that it would only be an hour. Those were the two things that Rogan said that they asked.
That doesn't seem that out of that. Well, I don't know. Listen, I mean, I'm the liberal weenie here, so I mean, that ridiculous to me with the vice president in the mid, like right before the election, to be like, yeah, I'll do it, but you got to come to me, and it can only do an hour. Like that seems.
Well, I think the original come to me was she was actually. I think he's in Austin, Texas.
Yes, okay.
And I believe she was there. She was nearby.
Okay,
and they said just stop by anytime if your rally finishes late or whatever, midnight, just come by. We'll do it anytime you want.
Okay,
so there's probably some truth to all of it. Probably both sides were being a little diva-ish or whatever would be my guess. That's how those things generally work.
Yeah, I'd imagine that was probably it.
Trump is on the night before the election, but what is he going to talk about? Like, why baseball isn't as exciting as it used to be?
I don't know.
Like,
it says here they talk about people getting priced out of going to games. I guess that's a problem.
What does Donald Trump know about the poor blue-collar worker who can't take his kids to a game?
Seriously.
See, this is what I mean. They ruin what should be good. I thought the Krzyzewski thing, we got great coaches. They're going to. Nope, it was boring
super
as all get up and
super
dry.
Boring.
Ugh.
By the way, this is the second time that Trump has turned to Belichick right before the election.
Remember the letter?
That was the night before the election,
like,
right?
Even just tell
in
me
New
a
Hampshire, yeah.
Like, start with that. Just make a joke about Bill. Not the first time we crossed paths the night before an election.
Right.
Tell that story. Bill can say how he felt behind the scenes, how players reacted. Trump can talk about what he got out of it. Like, I don't care what you think about bowling or boxing or baseball or basketball. They wouldn't even let you buy an NFL team. They wouldn't even let you in the club, Trump.
Right.
You tried to put the NFL out of business, and you ruined that other original USFL. What does he know about sports? I have no interest in this. I was going to listen to it. Now I won't listen to it.
I'm still probably going to listen to it just to hear what Bill and Jim ask him and like how the discussion goes, but that is a weird angle, like right before the. First of all, not exactly like a demo he's losing in right now, I don't think. You know?
No,
like,
no. Absolutely
that
not.
Type of the people who listen to the Let's Go podcast, I don't know. I mean, I'd consider them to be Trump friendly people. I don't know. Like,
and
right?
Even if he's going to talk sports, I would not say that. I would say, like, Donald Trump stops by to chat the night before the election. I would not be highlighting the fact that we're not talking about anything anyone cares about. That's just going to drive people away from your podcast.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yuck.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Interesting.
Can I get something in
Well,
there?
If he's doing sports, you know, you can come on our show tomorrow.
Anytime you want.
President and Kamala Harris, too. We can't come to you because, you know, budgetary reasons.
Right.
Here. But, yeah, we'll
have two chairs here. We could actually have
one
on each side of us.
We got plenty of open phone. We got the contest line you can call right into.
Absolutely.
All sorts of stuff. What do you
I'd be happy to talk to him. Do you know who Jalen Walthall is?
Jalen Walthall. Doesn't sound like a real person, but no, I don't.
So he is a wide receiver for Incarnate Word. Is that how you say that? Incarnate Word?
What? How to say what?
You thought you were a religious guy or something.
Incarnate Word?
Yeah.
Is that a Catholic school?
Yeah. In Texas.
Not familiar, but go ahead. Yeah.
So on Saturday, he scored his 12th touchdown of the season, and he decided to do a headstand in the end zone with his hands up by his side.
I did see that. That
was
cool.
And then one day later, you look in the NFL, you had Amon St. Brown and Drake London copying. So he's a small school wide receiver who's apparently pretty good. You got 12 touchdowns. I don't care what level you're at. That's pretty cool. And he did it great. I don't know if you saw his original.
I saw St. Brown's. I didn't see this game.
His was stiff as a board, and he put his hands up by his side.
That's cool.
So he's just on his head, and then he did like a roll to end it. I thought London and Amon St. Brown were a little more rushed and not quite as good. The one difference is the NFL, which is weird, got it right, did not flag these guys.
Good.
Poor Walthall at Incarnate Word got
Walthall
a 15-yard penalty.
Oh,
15
on.
Yards for standing upside down on your
ridiculous.
Head. What's wrong?
That's ridiculous.
What harm is there in that?
That is a good celebration.
That is a
that is
you don't
a good
see
one.
Too many new ones.
No.
Too many like creative good celebrations.
I know. There was the one time where they were doing all the team stuff with the canoes.
Right.
Jefferson grittying into the end zone.
But this
is good.
Great, and it's not taunting. You're not hurting. There's no guns. There's no knives. There's no props. Mm-hmm. You did a headstand.
Yeah. A good handstand.
A good one. Good it's one. Creative. Yeah. So I give him props. And I give props for the NFL guys for latching onto it and making it go viral and making it a whole thing.
Very good. All right. Speaking of giving props, we'll give props to Drake May and Jonathan Jones for joining us today. And to both Mego and Fitzy, who will be taking you right up to Monday Night Football tonight. That is the Chiefs and the Buccaneers is the Monday Night Football matchup here. So there you go. Stick around and keep it going. For Mego and Fitzy, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock back in studio in Brighton right here on WEEI. See ya.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.